Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs on the planet. And I can say from personal experience that they have awesome customer service. Use the code MMOReporter at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD. And by Audible, the best audiobook service in existence. Seriously, if you like stories at all, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. Those ads help cover our server costs for the show, but if you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate and show us some love. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to episode 79 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I'm joined by Drew. Hello,
hey.
Drew.
Hey, Josh. How's it going?
Good. It's going excellent. You're here. You haven't been on the show before.
I have not.
Do you want to tell people a bit who you are, why you're here, what you love about Hearthstone?
I am here because I am a happy Hearthstone fan who loves the show and can't wait to get on.
That's a good reason.
Yeah. And I've loved podcasts of games of all kinds for years. And one of my first favorite podcasts was LOTRO Reporter way back when on MMO Reporter.
Oh, yeah.
And when SWOTOR or TOR Reporter came out, Josh Augustine was on this podcast and I was like, this guy's pretty cool. And when he left, I was like, I guess I'll follow him.
Really?
Yeah. So I followed you ever since then. And so yeah, that's why I started listening to Happy Hearthstone. And as I got into Hearthstone, I was like, this is actually, I should rephrase. I got into Hearthstone and then found that you had moved there, and that's when
you knew it was just destined.
It was destined right there. Exactly. So that was about a year. That was a little over a year ago when I started playing Hearthstone hardcore enough to listen to podcasts and to get, you know, my game better beyond just what I could do for a random, you know, random play. So, and that's when I started listening to Happy Hearthstone.
Man, so, that's awesome. Yeah. I love hearing about people that, like, we first met. I say we met, you know, obviously we didn't actually meet until recently, but like we met like way back when, three podcasts ago.
Yeah.
It's just really fun. Tor Reporter was like the first real podcast I did outside of PC Gamer, which I did for my job.
Sure.
So that was really fun.
And you went to Battle Pets, the Battle Pets one, right?
What?
Did you do the Battle Pets one, the WoW Battle Pets? Or?
Yeah. Was that before?
I thought that was after Tor Reporter. I can't remember.
I don't know, man. That's all blur.
I don't remember. But yeah, so...
So yeah, so there you go. If you guys aren't listening to other MMO Reporter podcasts, there's a great network of all sorts of shows. If you like any sort of other online game, there's probably a podcast about it. You should go check it out.
Yeah, or just stalk Josh here with me, because that's what I do.
So, here's the true test, Drew. Let's see how big of a... I can't even say it. Oh, I'm going to say it. I feel like a terrible person just saying it. I'm doing it. Let's see how big of a Josh fan you are, Drew.
Oh, goodness.
Are you listening to my other podcast, the Game Diplomat podcast?
I have it subscribed on my phone, but I've been trying to catch up on Critical Role. So
okay.
I have a lot of balls in the air when it comes to podcasts and things to listen to. I also listen to audiobooks as well. So,
oh, nice. What are you listening to audiobooks?
Right? I just finished the second novel of the Thrawn trilogy.
Oh, nice.
The Star Wars Thrawn trilogy by Timothy Zahn, and I'm going to start the third one at some point here. I just, you know, it's cycling. I have to cycle through things. If I get too far behind on my podcast and I'm like, oh, I have 10 episodes of every podcast I listen to.
And then at that point, it's almost intimidating. Like, you're like, should I just skip a bunch?
I'll just start with the last one and work my way backwards. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm going to listen to that, because especially because I love indie games. And I don't mean to do a plug, but this kind of helps inform who I am and what I do. I've done a podcast for years on MMOs, and wildly, you know, different MMOs, most of them AAA, obviously, but I love indie games. So I love little things like Crowfall, the MMO that's going to be coming out at some point. It's kind of an indie studio working on this game, any kind of thing like that. So Game Diplomat is right up my alley on that.
Yeah, that's awesome. See? Then you should start listening, and then we can talk about games, and you can help me find new games to try and show off on the show.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Actually, Drew, here you go. Yeah. I'm just going to pitch you right here in front of everybody.
Let's do it.
You should join our Slack channel, because we've been talking about a lot of games in there that we want to cover on the show, because there's a lot of guys in there are indie game fans too. So we've been talking about our favorite ones and trying to find new ones.
Very cool. I might do that.
All right.
I don't have a whole lot of time for extra games at the moment. I'm working on my PhD, so which is why I'm not currently doing a podcast.
That will keep you busy. Yeah.
Yeah, the editing and all that stuff, just don't have time for it. So,
well, thanks for making time to be on the show.
Oh man, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, so when it comes to Hearthstone, what do you love about Hearthstone? Are you ladder, weird decks, arena? What are you into?
I don't play a ton of arena. I'm trying to get more into it because I need more gold. And I know I can eventually play if I just play the odds, and I can eventually get good decks enough to make my money back. But and I love arena though. I mean, I love laddering though, and just playing on ladder. But mostly, like you said, the weird decks. That's the favorite thing. And I play Rogue a lot, like a whole lot. And I enjoy watching. I don't have a very good collection. I don't have a collection. I just play digitally, but I used to play Magic the Gathering on iPad and stuff like that. And so I'm a weird, like, later geek getting into Magic the Gathering. And I always play blue because it just messes with the opponent. And so a lot of people automatically hate me now. But Rogue kind of does that, you know, saps and eviscerates and assassinates and all these things that just really make the opponent's life hard.
Yeah, and I like it too, because you're usually having to come up with like unconventional ways to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's never as simple as play things and punch face. Like,
yeah, you can't really play on curve
to it than that.
Yeah, you're mostly like looking two or three or four turns in advance, trying to think, okay, I have these cards right now. I'm going to need to play this on turn 9. I'm on turn 4. Like, how do I get from here to there without dying?
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting puzzle, and I just love doing that. And the combo decks really make me love this. Like, I love Miracle Rogue. I loved Oil Rogue, just being able to set up that huge turn at the very end. I know it's not what Blizzard likes to do anymore, but... oh my gosh, it was such a thrill to do 24 damage out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, and that's part of why you're on the show here, right? Because I really wanted someone to do like the new Rogue deck, either based on burglaring or some of the new weapons. And you just jumped at the challenge. You're like, I'll figure it out. I'll find a deck that works with it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, I mean, I don't know anyone else that is as into rogues as you are. So if anyone's going to make it work, I think you're the band, Drew.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. Like, Rogue, I play Rogue in Legion too in WoW right now. So
which spec, Outlaw?
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's so good. That's my main too.
Roll the Bones is literally the best thing ever. I just the
like,
visceral
the times when you get all six buffs and you just feel like a god for 30 seconds is so good.
I always do it on the trash every time. I'm
yeah,
like,
of course.
It's like the last trash pull before the boss, and there are the six buffs, and the tank takes too long to pull, and then they're gone. I'm just like, ugh, cry and die inside.
So that's when you just run forward to aggro the boss, be like, whoops, sorry, got to get the DPS meters up.
Leroy. No, yeah, so
that's why I got kicked out of my raiding guild.
Oh. I'm a PvPer mostly, so I just mostly do arenas, and I live for the thrill of just outthinking someone. So same comes back to that idea. But yeah, so, and it was a really weird experience because I didn't play WoW until like this spring, like in March.
Oh wow, yeah.
And so I was having reverse references from Hearthstone. I was playing Hearthstone first, and so I'd go into WoW and I'd be like, oh, so that's what Eviscerate is. Oh, okay, this is Blade Flurry.
Yeah, it's so fun to see like how the abilities actually match up. I was just talking with one of my new friends, Julian, who writes over on Red Bull. And we were talking today about how like mage spells in particular, like they're all just so perfectly matched to how the spells work in game. It's just incredible. They did an amazing job getting that stuff to line up.
They really did. And I'm looking forward to when they do a pass through the spells, or maybe give us some new spells with regards to Outlaw specifically, because the aesthetics of that, the things of that are really cool. Like I've been tweeting you about Roll the Bones, especially is my favorite skill, because the sound, the feeling, everything. And so Steery crafted a card on that. And so I was like, if they can make Roll the Bones, I would be so happy.
Yeah, it was a super fun card, actually.
It looks I would play
it on the show today too. All right, but let's keep going because we're stalling out here.
Oh, man,
let's talk about
fun.
Why we're happy. I'm happy because it's National Drink Beer Day. This is on September 28th. We're recording this Wednesday night. It's kind of a goofy name, right? It's like they couldn't be bothered to come up with like a creative or fun name. It's just Drink Beer Day. Straightforward. Well, how do you celebrate? You drink beer.
It's not but Hops Enjoyment Day
right now. So
that's good.
Yeah.
What brand? Everyone has a brand.
So my brand is Modern Times. Mm-hmm. It's a little brewery down here in San Diego that I love. They have a coffee stout that's just amazing.
Nice.
But actually right now I am drinking Maui Brewing Co.'s Coconut Hiwa Porter. And it's really good. It's insanely coconutty.
That's a good feature for something that has coconut in the name.
I know, me too. Because normally I get like the coconut porter and it's like you're like, I think there's coconut. Maybe there's coconut. And this is like just punching you in the face with coconut. And I'm down with that.
That's awesome. I'm more of a Jack of Coke guy, but you know.
Hey, Jack with Coke. That is a classic. You can't go wrong.
It's good.
All right. So why are you happy, Drew?
Ah, man. So I like playing D&D on the side when I have a chance, like every 3 weeks or so. And so I've been, today I just got in the creative streak and wrote up my notes of what's happened in our game that I'm playing in. And I did it in form of letters to my character's family. And so,
cool. So
in character notes, and then I send them to everybody so they can have references because they don't take good notes. So, but
dude,
yeah.
That's awesome. That's so a nice in character way of helping everyone out.
Yeah, and it's just fun to like recap what everything happened, so we keep track of it in our mind. And of course, you can add your own personality to it, and it's just relaxing to kind of do the creative thing and think through things.
Yeah,
so
man,
I really enjoyed that.
I totally understand that.
Yeah, and then also the shaman nerves when I heard about that. That made me extremely happy.
So let's jump into the. So we have two news pieces this week, but the big one just got announced today: a bunch of nerfs to cards. So it looks like it's mostly aimed at kind of aggressive shaman, mid-game shaman. But then there were some, and then one-turn kills, specifically like the Worgen one-turn kills and warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a few other ones kind of randomly thrown in there, like the Execute got nerfed from 1 to 2, Call the Wild from 8 cost to 9 cost. And then the ultimate one that everyone's been talking about for months, Yogg-Saron.
Yes.
So I think they came up with a really clever, good way to nerf Yogg-Saron. So they didn't change his effect or change his stats or change anything really about his core, which is what made him so fun. They just made two, I think, what feels like really common sense changes that probably is, it feels like the natural way he should have functioned.
Yeah.
Which is when he dies, his battle cry effect suddenly stops. So if he comes in, he's supposed to cast 10 spells and the first spell kills him, it just ends. He doesn't get 9 more spells, which just makes sense. As soon as he dies, Battlecry stops. Okay.
Sure.
And then the other one is if his spell effect plays overload cards, you get overloaded, which currently you don't.
They're
and
working
that
on
makes
that.
Makes sense too.
That's been a bug for this whole time. So
yeah, I actually didn't even notice that. Cause I mean, you don't see overload cards a ton.
Hmm.
But I mean, just two little subtle things that don't make the card very different, but do make it weaker, but in a way that still makes sense. What do you think?
I think it makes perfect sense. I mean, if you play a Sylvanas against it, which is kind of the hard counter, not really a hard counter, but a counter to Yogg-Saron, because if it kills a Sylvanas, then you steal Yogg-Saron. And then it starts casting spells on your side of the board in your favor. So if it says something, enemy and minions or things like that, it does it to the other person, to the person who played Yogg-Saron. Mm-hmm. So this just makes sense for destroyed, silence, all that stuff. It makes perfect sense for that to be continuing that kind of trend. I think that's a really reasonable thing to do. Keeps the fun of it, but makes it so it's unfeasible for tournament play, which is important.
Yeah, which is good. That's really what they're going for. They just don't want everyone running a copy of this in their deck. And it's like, well, I'm going to lose anyways. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. And I don't think, there was a really good video by Disguised Toast about like all, it had literally all the Yogg-Sarons from the America's Championship. And so it had every single one in sequence of what happened. And there weren't really that huge of effects, but they were enough where they had a few really good ones where like the person who shouldn't have won did because of it, that it made people just rage and really not like to watch. And that's not good when you have an esport, you want people to watch.
Although I will say, do you see the one where he got gang up on Yogg-Saron?
Yes.
I lost my mind. So I was watching it live when that was happening. It's just like, what? He gets Yogg-Saron. I can't remember. It put one in his hand, I think. And
yeah,
then
he drew into it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he drew into it, then it did gang up and put three more in his deck. It's just like, and he had like five cards in his deck, so half his deck was now Yogg-Saroth. It's just crazy.
It's absurd. Yeah.
So we won't go super into all the balance changes. I'm pretty happy with it. People have been saying this probably means that Hunter is going to be really good, potentially also Dragon Warrior and Dragon Priest.
Yeah.
But just because they can kind of move quickly, and now that Shaman isn't moving so quickly, they kind of have the best early games.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah, I will say the one I'm most excited for is the Execute one, because I just felt it was so extremely unfair compared to Assassinate.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like four mana was worth. I mean, think about all the things you can do to ping something, to damage something.
Yeah, especially in Warrior.
Yeah, it's so easy to get that condition fulfilled. So one mana is just so cheap. It's still insanely cheap compared to Assassinate, but still, I like that. I think that's really...
And the interesting thing with that, I don't know if this was done intentionally, but the combo usually before with Execute, until the recent patches, was Slam and Execute.
Yeah.
Which is a three-cost combo, but Blood to Ichor only costs one, and so it changed the combo to two.
Mm-hmm.
So putting this back up to two means that the combo is still three mana total. Seems good.
I think it's just more fair, honestly. Yeah. It just seemed so strong, and that's why Warrior is so dominant right now, is because its natural cards are so insanely good.
Yeah. All right, next piece of news before we jump into our deck battle is the Con Before the Storm announced their lineup of panels. So people that don't know, this is the player-run convention that happens the day before BlizzCon. It happens right next to where BlizzCon is. And they have a ton of awesome people there. And they do a bunch of panels talking about the game and podcasting in general. And actually, for the first time ever, they invited me to be on their Hearthstone panel. So I'm really excited to go do that. It's going to be the day before, which I think is a Wednesday or Thursday. Man, I should have written the date down. But it's at like 5:30 in the afternoon. And there's Garrett from the Angry Chicken is going to be moderating the panel. Then I'll be on it along with Chris from Value Town, Espo from Legend of the Innkeeper, and Kevin from Well Met. So obviously surrounded by really awesome people, and I'm really honored to be a part of that.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That'll be really cool.
Thanks. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm still trying to get my BlizzCon ticket proper, but if nothing else, I'll be there for Con Before the Storm the day before. So if you guys are going to be there, if anyone listening, I've already had one person reach out and kind of say that they were going to be at the convention and wondering if I was. If you're going to be there, let me know and we can meet up. We can arrange something, you know, around the time of this panel or after the panel. We can hang out, talk about Hearthstone, give high fives. I don't know. Whatever we feel like. We're mad lads. All right, let's jump into our deck battle, because that's why people are here.
Yeah.
So for people that don't know, we do these deck battle episodes about once a month. We haven't done one in about 2 months because we had all the awesome review episodes, which were like 3 hours long. Probably just finished listening by the time that this episode popped up in your feed. And the deck battles are where the guest host brings on their favorite deck and breaks it down for you, what cards are in it, how it works, why they like playing it, all that sort of stuff. And then we do a best of three battle against me live on the show. And then the twist, of course, is I'm always using the current reigning champion deck on the show, which is the last deck a guest host brought on and won. So they're fighting to enter the Hearthstone or Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame. And that's decks that have beaten three challengers in a row. Drew, today, the defending champion deck is fighting to enter the Hall of Fame. If it beats you, it's in.
Oh.
So this is Craig's Dragon Priest deck. From June 2016, episode 73. It's been reigning since then, and it will join the two other decks in the Hall of Fame if it can win today. Does that give you extra pressure, Drew?
I mean, it's almost a win-win. Either I win and I'm exhilarated, or I'm the last stepping stone into the Hall of Fame. So either way.
That's true. I mean, I guess that would make your deck the best deck. If it had to be the boss fight before the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. I am the, you know, the final boss of the raid. Here, so.
And then, of course, for Drew's new deck, which we're going to talk about in a second, you can go to gamediplomat.com. There'll be a full guide to the deck, all the cards that are in it, substitute suggestions if you don't have the more rare or expensive cards that are in the deck. And his advice for how to play each card and how to play against certain classes. Actually, Drew, you went above and beyond. You like did a full guide for like how to play against every class, right?
Yeah, not only that, but like what kind of cards you'll expect to steal, because that's the point of the deck, is to steal cards from the opponent's class. What kind of things you'll expect to steal, what kind of quality they generally are, and things like that. And so Yeah, it's detailed, and not just how to play against them. And currently, like I talked about each of the major players in the meta right now, but that obviously will change. But the general ideas stay the same.
Interesting. Yeah, this is awesome. So this is the most detail we've had in a while.
It's probably the worst deck you've had in a while.
Diplomat.com. I'm excited you did this, Drew. But let's talk about your deck.
Yeah.
So what is it?
It's the Pickpocket Rogue. It's basically kind of a new archetype, essentially enabled by Karazhan and the inclusion of Swashburglar and Ethereal Peddler, especially Ethereal Peddler, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But basically this deck, this specific version of the deck is just pure shenanigans. Like, the point of this is to do the most ridiculous things possible. So it's a very Johnny type of deck from the classic Johnny Timmy Spike type things. Johnny loves the combos, loves the weird things, the cool ideas, the odd interactions and things like that. That's the type of the deck this does. So
okay, and so it's about stealing cards from your opponent's class or for their deck or both?
It steals it specifically. It's random cards from your opponent's class. Yes.
Okay.
And then if they are not rogue, you can discount them with the Ethereal Peddler.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So that doesn't... That makes sense. If you steal rogue cards, Ethereal Peddler doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Ethereal Peddler, we'll talk about the detail stats and all that, but, well, I guess it's a 5-mana 5/6 with the effect that it's a battle cry. Reduce the cost of cards in your hand from other classes by 2. So that's really nice if you're not playing rogue. As long as you're not playing rogue.
Well, right now, rogue is not very popular, so this is the time to do it.
Exactly.
This deck just has to be so random every time, right?
It's insane. It's insanity. It's absolute. I mean, there are sometimes really boring games where I get really good tempo plays and it works, you know, because it does have good tempo tools in it. But a lot of times you have no idea what's going to be in your hand, and neither does your opponent. So I guess lack of knowledge is power.
That's fair. And you at least know once you get them, then you can start planning around them.
Yeah. And by reducing their cost, you're usually creating a tempo swing. You know, it's usually you've got random cards that don't necessarily have synergy, but they are cheap. So, generally.
Okay. So before we get into how it wins, because I'm super interested in that, because this deck has stumped me. I haven't figured it out yet. This is kind of like Renounce Darkness, right? You can get really weird combinations that you can't get anywhere else, right?
Yes, it is. Except for the fact that you get to keep some of your cards that are rogue cards.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So they don't, it doesn't transform.
You can steal a bunch of paladin cards, combine it with the rogue cards you have.
Sure. Yeah. And you kind of have, I guess you know a little bit more of what you're going to get. So, because Renounce Darkness, you have no idea what class you're going to get.
That's true.
Your hero power is going to change. Everything's going to change, and you don't know where it's going to go. Everything's one mana cheaper, but you don't know what it's going to do. With a rogue, you can decide whether or not you want to play these random cards. And stealing them has no downside, really, because the cards you're playing don't really have that much of a tempo loss when you play it to get the cards. Like Swashburglar, Ethereal Peddler, and Undercity Huckster are the main ones. They don't really have a tempo loss. So generally, you're not worried too much. I mean, about getting, about loss of tempo while you're trying to get these cards. They're just bonuses and benefits from playing them.
That makes sense. Okay, so let's talk about how this deck wins, because on the last episode, I was talking with Scott about it.
Yeah.
And like, I just can't wrap my head around, because just getting random cards and making them cheaper, like, that's not really a way to win. So how is this deck trying to win?
Well, it's a tempo deck. So it basically has a standard rogue background, a backbone, I should say, of the entire, like most rogue decks have the standard backstab, eviscerate, shadow strike, sap, phantom knives, things like that. You know, they may have some variations on how many you take of everything, but essentially you have the tools of removal in the early phase, right?
Yeah.
And then the second phase, you kind of swing the board, you kind of get board presence, you create a board out of seemingly nowhere sometimes using mid-range minions. Things like Defender of Argus is really good for this. I have Shadowcaster in here, which is really good for weird combo plays. And Azure Drake. Gotta love Azure Drake.
I wish I could run 10 copies of that in every deck.
Well, gang up. I run one copy of gang up, so you can run
there you go.
Five copies of it. I have sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like, wow, this is really slow. I need draw. And so I can pull up an Azure Drake and hope that I get it.
That's awesome.
So basically the idea is you get tempo and you start getting an acceleration and you start outpacing the opponent. And then the goal is to eventually just hammer them down, you know, hit them in the face enough times that they go down. Or if you can pull some interesting combos off of decks, you can sometimes do like a Holy Fire, I think. What is the one?
Deal 5 and heal 5?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
You know, you can use that. I finished off a priest with that one time. You know, you
Man,
can just
it's
do... Just,
it's so much more satisfying to kill them with their own spells, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yes. So much so. There's nothing like slamming a Gromosh that's triggered into a warrior, making him be triggered. It's just amazing. I love it so much. It's just, it's an unusual sort of thrill, I should say.
Yeah. So, first off, a lot of what you're saying about how it wins doesn't seem to require the class cards that you're stealing. So are those just there for fun and it wins regardless of those cards?
It maybe wins in spite of them, as Scott said last time.
Yeah.
which is a funny way of putting it. But, I mean, you are taking... So class cards tend to be generally higher quality.
Mm-hmm.
You are reducing their cost, so they do have an acceleration of tempo. So sometimes you can get really big minions that have a really cheap price. And if you brand Bronzebeard and Ethereal Peddler, you can play two Ancient of Wars or something like that at the same time. You know, like, yeah. think about the type of tempo swings that you can pull out of with this. So,
okay, so those are almost... Would you say the class cards play a similar role to, like, Yogg-Saron? Where, like...
A little bit, except you're controlling... Yeah, you're controlling slightly more... Where they go. So you're not holy firing your face. Whatever.
So the bottom isn't as low as it is with Yogg-Saron.
Exactly. So I think honestly this deck could win without the extra cards. It just provides an alternative way for them to win sometimes, and it also provides some needed utility throughout. And you kind of have to adapt the way you're playing. So if you know if you've been pulling a lot of control cards, then you need to start controlling the deck, the board, right? Mm-hmm. So if you start pulling a lot of late game control cards, you need to control the board, try to keep things off, don't go face, you know, really try to be good. If you get a lot of aggressive, really fast, damaging spells, things like that, you might just punch everything to face so you can just finish them off quickly. So you kind of got to play as you're getting cards in a little bit by ear and figure out what's going to be good for what the set of cards you've accidentally drawn are.
Man, see, that sounds so fun, because those are the sorts of decks that I really want to play, like, after I'm kind of just burnt out of playing the standard decks. It's just like, oh, I want to play something totally different, where you have to think on your toes, and you can't just do the same thing every time.
Yeah.
For example, with Shaman. So this is a great change.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna have problems against super fast decks. Like most combo decks, it's hard to win against a Shaman, you know? Face Shaman
Not
is like...
Not after those nerfs, buddy.
I'm hoping it helps, you know, that'll be great. But and that's why Rogue has been suffering for a long time, is because most of its decks are combo decks.
Yeah.
And so that's why you don't really see its presence that often. And really the only ones you do see are kind of like these weird hybrid Miracle Rogue type things that are sort of Miracle Rogue, but sort of not.
yeah.
And they've been the ones in championships, and they're mostly meta busters. They're specifically teched against certain types of classes. So they're not really good for laddering per se. They're good against the types of decks people are going to bring to a championship tournament.
Yeah. So, I mean, on that front, what sorts of decks is this deck best against?
It's great against Warrior, because you're pulling Warrior cards. And Warrior cards are great. So, I mean, to be honest, the quality, think of this as an actual pickpocket. You're only going to be as rich as the person you steal from. So if you steal from a really poor guy, like a priest, you're not so good. You're going to be a little bit behind the curve. I would argue, weirdly enough, Shaman is actually really hard to play against for a number of reasons, but because you steal cards that tend to be lower costed anyway, because they're in the overload, the mana is in the overload.
Oh.
Sometimes you don't actually get that much of a benefit from Ethereal Peddler. And so they might be like one mana for a spell, but it's like, you know, two overload. And so Ethereal Peddler only discounts it by one. And so it's a little overload makes it tricky, because it's not exactly as good as it looks.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes total sense.
But sometimes you get lucky and you get Doomhammer. So
which is always fun.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I would say Warrior's the best. You'd also get really good results against Mage. I have a bunch of, I have the list of all the things. on the notes of the
sure,
deck.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I would
all
say,
that'll be on Game Diff Mat, so people can check it out.
Yeah,
one last question before we get into the key cards.
Go for it. Yeah.
Can you break down exactly how it determines if you know what cards you get? So you mentioned class cards are more likely. How does it deal with rarity?
And no, I don't think it has anything to do with rarity. From what I've researched this a little bit to see, it has no differentiation on rarity or on type. It's spell, whether it's a spell, a weapon, or
Minion.
Doesn't matter. It's just a random card from the standard set from the opponent. Period.
Oh, and it's only standard set.
Yeah. It's only standard set.
I did not realize that.
And it doesn't even, from what I can tell and from what people have said and what I've looked up, it doesn't even have a bias towards Karazhan or towards the most recent expansion either.
It's gotcha. When you said standard set, I thought classic set.
Oh, no.
Anything that can be played in standard.
Right. Standard. Yeah. Gotcha. Not wild. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Wow. I thought for sure there was some bias because I've only played the deck once and I played against Warrior and I got Grimash.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, they must tilt it towards legendaries or something, but I just got incredibly lucky, apparently.
Just got lucky. When you get Tyrion Forgering, you're like,
oh, my
the
word.
RNG.
And then you make him cheaper.
Oh, my. And then you gang him up. Oh,
wow.
It's incredible. It's one of the greatest rushes. Like, they just can't win. They cannot get to you. You have three Tyrions on the ground.
Endless weapons. Endless taunt and divine shield.
Yes, you just win. It's just... No, I mean, yeah, there seems to be no bias. I did a little bit of research because I figured you'd probably ask me this question, and it doesn't seem to have any bias whatsoever. It's just standard cards.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, so you've mentioned a few of the cards, but let's make it official. What are the top, you know, five key cards?
Okay, so the catalyst of all of these, by the way, I'm a chemist, so I'm working my PhD in chemistry, so the catalyst of this is ethereal peddler is the 5 mana 5/6 with the battle cry, reduce cards of the opponent's class in your hand by 2. Can be comboed with Bran, can be comboed with that's pretty much the combo Bran. But yeah, it's a really good card for slamming down. I mean, it's a great body anyway. 5 mana 5/6, even in a rogue matchup, it's still a good body.
Yeah.
So you're not really suffering too much, even though it doesn't have the effect, and the effect is great. So that's really what enables this deck. Without that, we would not have a pickpocket rogue. You just can't steal random cards and expect to do anything with them if they're not cheaper.
Yeah. And what rarity is Ethereal Peddler?
It is I have not even noticed. I don't know.
Okay.
It
wasn't hard for you to get 2 copies though.
No. It comes from Karazhan, so.
Oh, duh.
You get it anyway. That's why I don't know. It's rare.
It's National Drink Beer Day, guys. My brain.
Yes. So it is a rare, and then Swashburglar is the next one, and that's a common. And this does affect how likely you are to get it in Arena.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend playing this in Arena. you need a lot of synergy for this to work. The reactants, as I like to call them, are Swashburglar and Undercity Huckster. Swashburglar is a battle cry, 1 mana 1/1, that gives you a random class card from your opponent's class. So adds that to your hand.
Nice. Which we talked about it in our review, and we weren't really impressed.
Mm-hmm.
But is it just that there's really nothing else to do on turn one? Is that why it's good?
I don't ever use it on turn one, pretty much.
Really? Why not?
Because you can use it much later when you pair it with Bran, get 2 cards. You can pair it with Shadowcaster and get it back, so you can play it again.
Okay.
You don't want to put it out first because then it gets killed almost immediately.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it depends. I occasionally play it first when I'm really worried. So like Shaman.
You just want something out there.
Yeah, Shaman. Sometimes I'll need to kill something and I'll want to have that in the dagger on the next turn to kill something with 2 health.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter, occasionally I'll play it if I've been feeling a lot of rushed Hunter decks recently. But yeah, usually I don't play it on turn one. Even if I have it in hand, I don't. I wait. And because I like to gang it up too. So... that's another thing I do.
Okay, yeah, I never would have thought about that.
Yeah.
I didn't really think of this deck as a combo deck, but that's really what it is.
Yeah, and so I treat Swashburglar as a combo piece, not as a 1 mana 1/1 that gets played on turn one. So
very cool.
Undercity Huckster is a good card as well. That's nice to play in the early game because it doesn't really have a combo. It's a Death Rattle. I don't have Nazoth in here anyway. Not that that would.
And he's just a 2/2 for two. Is that right?
2/2 for two. Death Rattle. Same effect. Give your hand an opponent's class card.
Cool.
So, but yeah, it doesn't have the synergy that that Swashburglar has with Bran and Shadowcaster. So. It's not
and
quite.
And can you remember what
good.
Shadowcaster is?
Shadowcaster is a 5-mana 4/4 that gives you. It's a target. It's a battle cry. Give yourself a 1-mana 1/1 of one of your minions that's on the board.
Okay.
So you can play it on Swashburglar, and it essentially gives you another Swashburglar.
And with Bran, it gives you two more Swashburglars.
Exactly, and then you can also use it to give yourself two Brands that are 1/1s.
Oh, what? Mana, that's 1/1s. Pretty crazy.
And then play one of those with Shadowcaster to get. Two more Shadowcasters.
No, it's too much.
And then play that with Defender of Argus to play Defender of Argus, and then play another Defender of Argus, and then you can just, it's insanity. You can do some really weird, like I said, this deck is all about the shenanigans. So that's the flexibility of it. Going on to the next one, Shadowcaster kind of enables me to decide how I need this deck to go. If I need more, like they're rushing my face, I need more Defenders of Argus, so I'll pump those into my hand. I might pull some Earthen Ring Farseers into my hand using Shadowcaster. You know, it allows me a little bit of flexibility to decide, especially because I don't know what my hand's going to look like at turn 5, because it's going to be full of other class cards. I need to know what I need more of, and Shadowcaster allows me to do that. So...
So I was not worried about this deck battle at all, but the more we're talking about it, I'm starting to get a little worried. This
That's
deck
good.
Sounds better than I expected it to be.
It's deceitfully complex.
But it sounds like, man, if you can pull off even one of these combos, it gives you a really big advantage.
It does. The problem is with these faster decks, sometimes I don't get them off. So if I've been playing, I have a slightly better than 50% win rate. Which means I've won just on my deck tracker on the computer, which I usually play on mobile, so this is not exactly perfectly accurate.
Sure.
I have a 13-12 record with this particular iteration, so it's just slightly above 50% against the current meta, which is not terrible.
Not terrible when the meta is filled with everything that hates this deck.
Yeah, everything that's super fast. If this would have slowed down just a little bit, I'd probably be able to get up to 60 or something like that. And I'm at low ranks. I'm not trying to ladder right now. I just don't have the time. So I am, you know, rotating. I'm around rank 20 to 17, somewhere in that area. So this is not, I want to reiterate, this is not a tier one deck. It's not meant to be a perfectly tuned deck. It's purely fun. This is just, I do it for the laughs, man. I just do it for the laughs.
Do it for the laughs. So... We're going to be doing the live stream in just a second here. So this is definitely one you need to go to the website and watch, because you're going to be live streaming your side, right? Or at least recording it.
I'll be recording it. Yeah, I'm not going to be live streaming. But...
So I'll make sure we have both my side and Drew's side up so you can see what he steals and see me guessing what he stole and trying to play around it and then see what actually happens.
Yes, it'll be.
I think it's going to be really fun.
Quite interesting, that's for sure.
So any other thoughts on your deck before we move on into the duel?
I mean, just, I can't promise that I'll beat you, but I can promise I'm going to have a ton of fun doing some weird stuff. So that's my trash talk.
Well, good news, Drew. I never want anyone to promise that they'll beat me.
My trash talk is terrible. I'm like, I promise to have fun.
Well, Craig appreciates it. Craig's deck is awesome, and he's fighting, like I said, to get into the Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He's beaten two challengers already. If this is his third he's taken on, if he beats it, he goes in it. It's a Dragon Priest deck. As a reminder, this does not have the new cards. The decks stay exactly the same as they were first submitted, so this was created before Karazhan came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a more aggressive Dragon Priest deck, kind of an interesting variant that he built. So it sounds like it might actually... Hopefully have a good matchup here. Be able to take you down fast before you start creating 30 Shadowcasters and Swashburglars all over the place.
We'll see. If you get a bad draw, I'll probably win.
Well,
I've beaten a few on ladder.
So we're going to play a best of three series. Like I mentioned, you can go watch it on GameDiffMat.com, and we'll be right back. And we're back. And let me be the first to welcome Craig's Dragon Priest deck into the Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame, the third deck ever to get such honors. Woo-hoo. Congratulations, Craig.
Claps. Yay. Woohoo.
Yay. But Drew.
Yeah.
You don't have to pretend to be happy.
Oh, dude.
So what happened? What went wrong?
I'm just checking right now. Yeah. Okay. I did put Backstab in my deck. Yeah, it is there. Eviscerate's in there too. Weird. That's weird because I thought I only had one copy of Eviscerate because that's all I saw in the entire two games. Yeah. And oh, there's Earthen Ring Farseer. Yeah, that would have been good to see occasionally. they were in there. It is true. I got the worst opening hand the second time for sure. First time
I saw you threw away all three cards. On my live stream, I was just like, ooh, that's not a good sign.
Oh, I had Sap and what else did I have? I had a five cost. Like, I got nothing. And the first time I had Coin and SI, which isn't terrible. That's actually a good turn two play. It's not great against three health minions, which you have. You have no two health minions.
Yeah, I have none. No two health.
And that's
Museum Curator, I guess. But yeah, it's not worth killing.
That's the benefit of this versus Zoo and versus all the other things that have two health minions. And so in Shaman, even it is useful against that. Priest, did you see the one? Oh, what was it? The one, I don't remember what the card is called. It's the one that has Inspire deal 4 damage to both heroes.
Yeah.
And I'm behind and I'm like, really? I get that card? It's basically a neutral. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, Priest, terrible, terrible cards.
Yeah, I noticed. I was not really impressed by the cards you were stealing.
I drew absolutely terribly. You drew better with Nefarian than I did with that.
Let me actually go ahead and list three moments that happened because I wrote these down. If you guys want to see me laugh, the hardest I've laughed in a while. It was when, so I go into this deck battle. Okay, Drew's deck is all about stealing cards, using them against me. I won both games off of cards I stole from him.
Yes.
From Nefarian and from Shifting Shade.
Yeah,
but let me list the three events that happened.
Yeah.
So at the end of the first game, I'm kind of low. He's kind of low. He has really good board presence. I was actually starting to get worried near the end there. And so I play Nefarian.
Mm-hmm.
I have one mana left, right? It's a 9-cost dragon. Nefarian gives me Conceal.
Stupid. Oh my gosh. I was so mad.
Lethal next turn.
Yeah.
The second one, I got Shadowcaster from Shifting Shade, tossed it on Sylvanas, gave myself another Sylvanas on the board just to make sure.
You can hear my laughter in that too. I just lost it. I was like, that is the most, that's the dream with Sylvanas and Shadowcaster. And there is no way. Oh, I don't have Sylvanas in my deck. I could put her in there, but I just couldn't fit her in. And
yeah, well, I mean, the chances of that combo is pretty low. I just got insanely lucky. Because actually, I think that Shadowcaster might have been, is that the one I entombed from you?
Yes. And I was like, oh no, I have gang up. Yeah. No, what was it? I had something else. I don't remember. I was wanting that Shadowcaster for something else.
That's because I remembered from our show when all the combos you were talking about had Shadowcaster involved.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I think I just want to get rid of this thing.
You definitely played around all my combos extremely well. I will definitely give you that because I didn't have like sometimes on ladder, people will leave my Swash Burglar alone, which is great because then I can Shadowcaster, I can gang it up, I can do all these things. You always killed it instantly. And so there was no way for me to get the combo back, you know, to, I had to play Swash Burglar as like a tempo, like praying I get something. There was, I know you have one third moment, but go and tell the third moment, then I'll tell you a moment that I was laughing really hard. That really was awful for me.
Okay. So last time, I had the Shadowcaster on board still, and you were at 7 health.
Mm-hmm.
Shadowcaster does 4 damage. And I was like, well, I'm just going to play Nefarian. Let's draw something, see if I can get Conceal or something to finish him off next turn again.
Yeah.
It didn't even cross my mind that it could give me Cold Blood. Ugh. Like the only one mana cost spell in the game that would have won it for me at that point. So I tossed it on my Shadowcaster, punched face of one. Like at that point, I was just rolling on the floor laughing. It was just incredible how good my card steals were against a deck that is about stealing cards. It's like it was trying to prove something. It wanted to prove that it could do it too.
I will tell you, I kid you not, I'll go down to my write-up on this and where I talk about Priest, and it says, literally, this is word for word what I wrote weeks ago. It says,
I will say that priests that are built to Thoughtsteal and other things like that are hilarious to play this deck against. I mean, you're probably going to lose since they get rogue cards and you get priest cards, but it's still pretty funny when they have a bunch of priest minions on your side and they have a bunch of rogue minions on their side.
That's true. We did have that at some point. Because I had the Shadowcaster, you had the Cabal Shadow Agent or whatever that thing is.
The Worm Rest Agent or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I definitely felt like the rogue cards I were getting were all pretty good, and the priest cards you got were pretty garbage.
They were absolute garbage. I mean, I would have, honestly, like, I don't mind getting Purify. I like Purify because it cycles.
Yeah.
I was starved for card draw because you kept stealing my Shadow Madness, by the way, all-star of this game, because it really stifled my my card draw, because you kept stealing my card draw things, killing them on your side, and getting the card draw.
Yeah, I was actually surprised by how well that did, because I didn't know how many minions like that you had.
I have a lot of Death Rattle card draw.
I was praying for you to drop Loot Hoarder, and then you dropped
Blood Mage Thalnos.
Thank you, Blood Mage Thalnos. I was like, even better, I'll take that too.
I love Blood Mage Thalnos, but not when it's used against me.
Yeah, that was really unfortunate. Yeah, I had Craig's deck really performed. I mean, Craig's deck is good, but man, his deck was firing on all cylinders today. Just everything that could go right went right with this deck. It was brutal.
I had a moment where I was staring a Blackwing Corruptor in the face. The five, I think, what is it, 4-mana 5/4 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I was like, Shadowcaster, or not Shadowcaster, sorry, Swashburglar, give me Shadow Word Death. And so I threw it out, and then it gave me some random card, and I was like, okay, try again. And I Shadowcastered it up, and then did another Swashburglar, and then it gave me Shadow Word Death, and I had one less mana than I needed to cast it.
Oh no.
So I sapped it instead. And
yeah, I thought that was a weird choice, because I was like, okay,
I was trying
to get the battle cry effect on that guy again.
I wanted to let it go one more turn so I could kill it off without taking five to the face, because I was just trying the whole two games, I was just trying to minimize how much damage I was taking to the face, because you were rushing me down, and I just couldn't do anything about it, because I never drew Earthen Ring Farseer once. Didn't draw Bran Bronzebeard at all the second game. All of my card draw you were using, not me. It was a rough two games. I have to say, those are probably two of the worst games I've played on this deck, unfortunately.
Really?
I got terrible draws. I got terrible steals. It was really sad. I was really bummed, because I wanted to show the weird, cool stuff that could happen, like Prophet Valen, or I've gotten some cool stuff in the past, and nothing, just nothing.
That's unfortunate. Well, I'm going to be building your deck anyways, because it sounds super fun, and I like the idea of building up towards the combo, and I just really like playing decks that people don't expect, because the whole time they're playing around cards that you don't have in your deck, because they think you're playing some meta deck.
Right.
And so you just really give some cool surprises.
If you want to do a real big surprise, just take three cards of your choice out, maybe Nefarian at the end, or something like that, plus a few other late game cards or something, maybe even Shadowcaster if you don't really feel the Shadowcaster vibe, and then put in two Blades of C'thun and C'thun.
Oh.
Because that's all you need to make a C'thun deck for a rogue, is those three cards.
Yeah.
Because they play
a good surprise. I like that too.
They play Ragnaros and you're like, and I'll take that. Add that to C'thun.
Because it adds the full stats to your C'thun, right?
Yeah. And then they're like, he has a 14-14 C'thun on next turn. That's
and he just killed by Ragnaros and has a body on the board.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. Like, next turn I could be dead. Suddenly,
interesting. That sounds super fun too, because I always wanted to play the rogue C'thun deck, just because I liked the idea that you only needed three cards in there.
Right. Yeah, I've got a blade of a blade rogue that includes Blade of C'thun and includes some other things, including Deadly Fork and Blade Flurry and things like that in it. And it's actually working pretty well. I'll shoot you the list at some point when I get it worked out, because it uses that new Arcane Illusionist, or no, is it?
Violet Illusionist.
Yeah, that's the one. The one that makes it so you can kill things without taking damage with your face, right?
Yeah.
And so that is amazing against Shaman. Oh my goodness, it's a meta breaker for Shaman, because you can just mow down their whole board with deadly poisons and things like that. They can't do anything about it, because they're not damaging you. They're not able to rush you down. You're just taking out their stuff with your face, and it's really good. So
Very cool. I'll
shoot you the... although.
All right, so do you think with the nerfs coming, and the meta in theory is slowing down, it almost has to slow down, I think.
Yeah.
Is this Pickpocket Rogue going to do better than it has been?
I certainly think it'll do better. I'm still not confident it'll become even a tier 5 deck or whatever, tier 4 or whatever they call it on meta watching things, but Here's another thing. This particular brand of pickpocket is just supposed to be really ridiculous and fun. It is not supposed to be consistent, and obviously today it was not consistent. There are more consistent versions of it. I'll add some links to various ones I've found. There are probably about 5 different versions I've found. Some are better than others, but Brian Kibler is the one who has the best one right now, I think. It's a really good, solid deck that does a lot of stealing and is pretty fun. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome to get more versions in there. Because obviously, if you watch the games, the first one, I think, were you feeling pretty good near the end of the first game?
Yeah,
I was starting to feel worried.
Now, near the end, I started getting some taunts up. I started getting some... that was the second game. I'm trying to remember.
So at the end of the first game, I'm trying to remember, you had like a 4-4 and like a 5-3 on the board, and my board was empty.
Yeah, my tears blurred, so I can't remember.
I understand. At that point, you were already on the floor in fetal position.
Yes.
Why are you giving me Holy Nova?
Now, let me look at the replays. Let's see here. Last one I had was... By the way, Hearthstone Deck Tracker, for those of you guys who don't know, it has a replay ability now where you can see everything. Yeah, I had a 5-3 and a 4-4 and a 2-1 on board. And I killed the 2-1 with the Hero Power, trying to draw into something, anything, some taunts. I wanted a taunt, you know, like I needed Defender of Argus to come to my hand. So I was like trying to draw as much as possible and just could not get it. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know you're desperate when you're killing your own dudes to draw cards.
It is true, yeah. But, I mean, it's a valid strategy. You're using them as a draw engine instead of as damage. But, oh, my gosh. That was a brutal beatdown. Good job, Craig. You built a really, really well-tuned deck. I mean...
Yeah, Craig's deck. Yeah, this is really good. So, I mean, he earned his spot in the Hall of Fame. I'm super excited. So he is joining the two other decks, Dan Patrice's Beastmaster Hunter deck from March of 2014. And then Andrew's, of course, Warlock Demons U deck, the most dominant deck we've ever had on this show, which entered the Hall of Fame in March of 2016, after almost a year of beating every deck that came on the show. That deck was the reason we made a Hall of Fame and said, like, you know, we should probably limit this to just 3 wins or else some of these decks are just never going to go.
It's a really strong deck. I played that deck a lot because I like Warlock, and that was a good one. I enjoyed it.
I did too. That was my favorite deck for a long time.
And Josh, by the way, you piloted the deck really well too. It wasn't just Craig. It was a lot of skill on your side too. So congratulations to you. I don't minimize what you did by congratulating him. It's just a really good deck.
No, I always give credit to the decks because people tell me even afterwards too, like I make misplays. I certainly don't play them as well as they could be. I just try my best.
Yeah,
but with Craig's deck, I've been playing this deck a bunch, so I've gotten a better handle, at least, of how to use it. So any other parting thoughts about your deck and trying to convince people that they should play it before we move on to community?
Play it in quick play or whatever it's called, in open play instead of ranked, and you'll probably have more fun because you'll play off meta decks more often. And it'll be more fun time. It's not saying that this is a bad deck to play in ranked. Well, actually, it is saying that it's a bad deck to play in ranked. It's just not consistent enough, as you can see. But it's a really, if you're looking for just a great old time, we never even got to the Nefarian plays. But you know, if you can get late game against a control deck, it's just really, really cool and really fun. So I highly recommend it. If in a control meta, it's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, and I think you would definitely do better out on the ladder rather than against me right after you told me every way you try to win with the deck.
It was a little hard to get things past you there.
Yeah, I definitely did feel like I knew what you were trying to do most of the time.
But I knew what you were trying to do.
Helped me counter it.
I know what your deck has in it. I know what it does. And I was thinking about saving sap for Ysera and things like that. And
yeah.
So, yeah, you know, but there's only so many things you can do. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Fun.
Hey, it was still fun. That was some of the most fun duels I've had in a while.
Just
the crazy cards that you get in there it's good fun.
Yeah, you had the better steals, but you know, I'm an apprentice thief apparently.
Apprentice thief.
Learning from the master.
Well, that's because priests go straight into the mind and steal stuff out of your brain.
That's
they don't
true.
Mess with pockets.
That's true. It's scary stuff. Scary.
All right, let's
stuff.
Jump in the community segment. My brother Matt I was asking him for a question because we never get questions submitted to the show. So he wanted us to give our predictions for what will happen with Hearthstone at BlizzCon. And I want to take it further. I want to go wild and crazy predictions, not just stuff like, hey, Mage is going to do good. Hey, people might play Yogg-Saron. I want stuff that's very unlikely to be true.
Okay.
But you can look like a genius afterwards. I came up with three. So I'll throw them out there first. Drew, you can think of yours.
Okay.
I'm going to say Priest will be the last deck to win in the finals.
Like the final match of the final match?
Yep. The final match of the final match, Priest will win. Another one, I'm going to say Call of the Wild will get the killing blow in exactly three matches across the entire BlizzCon tournament. And no one will win with Paladin ever at BlizzCon. There you go.
I see what you're doing now. I was reading these and be like, these are not good predictions.
No, they're not. But if any of these come true,
you're gonna look
it's
like
going to be pretty good.
You're going to look amazing.
Yeah. So honestly, Call of the Wild is probably the least like or the most likely one out of those three.
I mean, to be exactly three is very.
Yeah.
I'd say that would be hard. I would say
but
at least three.
You know they're at least going to get some killing blows, and I don't know if anyone's going to. Well, someone is going to win with Paladin, but maybe not. I'm saying they won't.
I'm pretty sure Murloc Paladin will be a very large contender, especially with the decrease of aggro. I think would be.
My brother's been talking, actually. He's been seeing more secret Paladins.
I saw that enter the meta on the meta watch list, and I was like, what?
That can't be. I just don't want that to be a thing again.
Well, it's not really without Avenge. I mean, it's not really even that good of a deck without Avenge, I thought. But oh well.
I hope you're right. I haven't faced it yet. My brother was just saying he's seen it a bunch.
I've been seeing Secret Hunter. Okay, so I'll say this. I think we're going to see a Purify / Silent / Barnes Priest deck in a lot of different situations in BlizzCon.
Whoa. Define a lot of situations.
Like, I think it's actually going to be a pretty common deck. I think Priest is actually going to have a pretty common presence here.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
I think that will be the case.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. And that might actually be a legitimate prediction. That might actually happen. That's not actually that far-fetched. Let me think of something more far-fetched. I think no one will bring Yogg-Saron at all after the nerf.
No one. Okay, that's a bold prediction.
I don't think anyone will include him because the randomness will just be not worth it because he'll kill himself and it'll be over.
Yeah.
So I think no one will. Yeah, wow. I said it.
Do you think it's going to kill a lot of spell decks too? Or will spell decks still run just without Yogg? They'll just rely on Arcane Giants.
I could see a spell. I don't know. I think that I could see like a Barnes Yasiraj spell deck. Where Barnes pulled out Yasiraj.
And then that'd be fun.
Or Arcane Giants, maybe. Either or. I don't know. Maybe something like that. But let's see. Final prediction. I predict someone will bring a Nazoth Rogue. I bet that a Nazoth Rogue will win a top 8 match.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's bold. Hold on. We got to write this down. Nazoth wins top 8. Because I want to come back and screenshot this when we do it. So, all right. So, what were yours? Nazoth wins top 8.
Nazoth Rogue wins Priest. Top 8.
Oh. Nazoth Rogue wins top 8.
Because right now
Priest
it's just too slow.
Purify will be common. Is that what it was?
Will be common. Yeah. A Priest Purify / Barnes Silence deck.
Cool.
Like the Silence deck that's
been running around.
Which I actually really like. I think it's a good idea. I don't have all the cards for it, so I can't play it exactly the way it's played on ladder, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun deck. All right, and then what was your third one?
No one will play Yogg-Saron.
Oh, yeah.
It will be virtually completely gone. Versus this last one where it was seemed like everybody had a Yogg Druid, no one will have Yogg at all.
Yep.
I mean, there may be like one person, and that guy loses.
Too late, buddy. It says at all in all caps. You're on the books.
All right. Well, we'll say I'll be bold. No one will play Yogg-Saron. His hope is at an end.
Good man. So if any listeners want to get their predictions in, you can send it to me on Twitter or post. How about this? Post it in the show notes in the comments so everyone can see it. Let's all just put our crazy predictions in there. If we all predict crazy stuff, one of us has to get right. And whoever does will become the Happy Hearthstone wizard. There we go.
There you go.
I was trying to think of a better word for like fortune teller, but you're just going to be the Happy Hearthstone wizard if you get something right. All right, let's talk about our iTunes reviews, because we finally have two iTunes reviews again, which is awesome. We didn't have some for a few shows in a row, and two people went out and gave us five-star reviews.
Awesome.
So Yanks in Portland says, great show still. Love this podcast. Thank you for the informative show with very helpful tips. And Uber says, love the show. This is only my second ever podcast review, but wanted to spend the time to thank the hosts for their dedication on the consistent show filled with good tips and fun conversations. Especially love the card reviews. Usually I agree with the scores, but more importantly, when I don't agree with the score, I still enjoy hearing your thoughts and conversations around the card. Keep up the great shows. So thank you, Uber and Yanks in Portland, for those reviews. Really appreciate it. Giving us five-star reviews on iTunes helps other people find us and listen to the show, which is awesome. And if you want to make a donation, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate, but there are never donations. And I actually made a note this time. I don't know why I keep this segment here. I should probably just remove it because I don't think we've had a donation in like a year.
No one will donate if they don't know they can.
That's true. But no one's donating even though they do know they can.
Hmm. Good point.
But maybe this time will be different.
Maybe. Go donate, guys.
Yeah.
Buy some packs.
So,
but
instead of donations, we do have the Dust Bowl, which is super excited. This is where Jake Crawford sends us in packs. Wait a second. Jake Crawford. Did I totally get his name wrong? Oh, man.
That sounds right.
This drink beer day is getting to me. Because I thought for sure Jake Crawford was one of my coworkers. Maybe they're the same person.
I think that's the right name. Pretty
okay.
Sure.
All right. I'm just going crazy. I'm sorry. All right. Sorry, Jake. So Jake has been donating 7 packs a month for probably like a year, year and a half now. It's been really great. And we fell a little behind in opening them because of the review episodes. We didn't want to tack on the Dust Bowl at the end of those. And I saved all the packs I got from my welcome bundle that I got and the Tavern Brawls since we last did the Dust Bowl. So we have 28 packs to open today. It's really fun. Me and Drew actually opened them together on the live stream. For the first time ever, we had other people commenting on it. It's pretty cool.
It was.
Actually, I think that's the second time. Sorry, Drew. I'm sorry. It's still pretty cool. I was excited to have you there. But as I said that, I realized that we did that one time before.
Just raising my hopes and dashing them to the ground. I know. Much like the game earlier.
It wasn't enough to beat you in the brawl or in the duel. I need to crush your hopes in the Dust Bowl as well.
Well done. Well done.
So Drew and I will each pick one card to save and one card to dust from the, 5 times 28, 140 cards we opened?
Yeah, not too many to pick from, honestly. I mean, I'm surprised we're even bothering here.
Yeah. I mean, Jake did get us 2 legendaries this time.
He did. He did.
Yeah, so
that.
The first one I'm going to save. This will be the card I would save, Jiraxxus. I never owned Jiraxxus. He's a super fun demon card. Right? He's the one. Is he 8 cost or 9 cost?
9.
9 cost. When he comes in, he takes the place of your hero. And he gives you 15 health, an ability that summons an 8-8 demon.
It's a 6-6 demon.
Oh.
Still good, though. For 2
still
mana.
Good.
Yeah. 2 mana, 6-6. That's pretty good.
So it's a really cool kind of late game warlock play, especially if you've used your hero power bunch, got yourself really low, boom, you jump back up to half health.
Yeah.
And keep going.
Yeah, people
so
kind of look
I'm really
at that.
Excited to have that card. I wish I had him back in my demon deck just for fun.
Yeah, it's a good card. It does have a weakness to the one that kills demons, but
yeah, destroy demon for 1 mana.
On the rare occasion.
Sacrificial pact.
Sacrificial, on the rare occasion you can do that. A swashburglar rogue could do it.
That's true.
They could.
All right, so what card would you save?
I would save Violet Teacher. I know it's kind of a boring card, but this is a staple in rogue decks, and it's great for shifting the tide. You often are casting a lot of spells. You can plop this person down on 4 and then backstab some of their guys, eviscerate some of their guys. If you've got the coin, you can do that on turn 5 and things like that. You can build a board while you're removing the other person's board. It's a fantastic tempo play.
Yeah, and I mean, and we opened like 6 of these or something. So you get all 6. So I'll just give you all 6 right now. You can save them all.
Yeah, I'll use all of them. I'll rotate through them to make them feel valuable.
All right, let's look at cards to dust. I'm going to dust the other legendary. This is the third time I've opened this legendary, and I still don't have cards like Ysera that I want really bad. Lorewalker Cho, my best friend, who just wants to give spells to everybody.
Okay, wait, hold on a sec. Did you say you don't have Ysera?
Yeah, man.
So that's not in your deck?
No, Ysera isn't in my Dragon Priest deck.
I was saving... Did you put Nefarian in instead?
It was either Nefarian or Cro-Magus. I have those two on the top end.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one was in Craig's default list.
Nefarian says it's a Ysera alternate. Cro-Magus was in there already. Yeah. Okay, so I was saving Sap for that, which is, you know, I ever got to that anyway.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Good to know. All right. Yeah, it's a not such a great card, Lorewalker Cho.
No, it's like I wanted one copy just for Tavern Brawls because it is kind of fun in some Tavern Brawls.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need three copies. Blizzard, please stop giving me Lorewalker Chos. Give me Ysera. I don't know.
Yeah, bummer. I'm going to dust. Yeah, I'm dusting Molten Giant, a former giant in the world of control decks, especially Warlock.
Yeah.
Handlock decks were fundamentally a Molten Giant deck. You get yourself real low, about 11 health, 10 health. At 10 health, you can drop these guys down for free. And can't do that anymore because now they're not 20, they're 25. And now you have to be at 5 health to drop them for free.
Which is just bonkers.
Like, that's within range of everything.
Yeah.
Like, 10 health, like, there's some combos that can get you, but you're not really, like, probably going to die next turn, possibly.
Yeah, you can usually get one turn with the giants, which is often all the turns you need.
Right. At 5, you're dead.
Yeah. Like, Hunter can just kind of look at you, and you just quit.
Exactly. Yeah, that's unfortunate. So, Molten Giant, unfortunately, is a dead card these days, and so I would dust them. You got 2 of them, I think, or 3.
Yeah.
And so I would definitely dust them. They're good dust.
Hey, that's a fair amount of dust.
Yeah.
Hey, can I tell you a secret?
What?
Well, it's not really a secret. I think I'm going to dust Yogg-Saron after the nerfs if they give you full value and craft Ysera.
I'm going to do that and craft Yasuraj.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's the one that summons a random minion from your deck at end of turn, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and there's some really... There's a Barnes Rogue that wins 91% of the time. Because you, if you get Barnes in your opening hand and you send Yasuraj back, you're guaranteed not to get your Yasuraj. So then you just get to turn 4 without picking up Yasuraj, play Barnes. It pulls Yasuraj, which then pulls another Yasuraj, which if that survives on turn 4, which it will, it pulls another 2 Yasurajes out of your deck.
Oh my word.
Because it doesn't actually
take it out of your deck. It just creates a copy.
Exactly.
What? I never knew that's how that worked.
Yeah.
That is bananas.
Well, okay, sorry. So there's one more thing. Okay, so the Yasuraj effect pulls it out of your deck. The Barnes makes a copy, a 1-1 copy. So, okay. But what the Rogue does is you can gang up.
Oh, you gang up it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Or Shadow Step Barnes and then do it again.
Oh, dude, that is amazing.
Oh, it's so good. So, yeah, it wins a lot. And it's just fun to play. I mean, it's, again, this Johnny in me. I'm so Johnny, it's not even funny. The combo-loving, just, like, the weird, like, perfect. Like, it's going to lose every time you don't get this combo off, but it's amazing when you do.
Sure. But it feels so good when you do.
It does. It's the best. So, all right, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that.
Awesome. Good choice. All right, let's jump into card of the week.
Okay, I need to get my guitar. Hold on one sec. BRB. Okay.
You know this is going to be good when it starts off with, hold on, I need to grab a musical instrument of some kind. That means he's taking card of the week seriously. I like to see that.
Okay.
I hear it going. Is this going to be acoustic guitar, electric guitar?
Acoustic, bluesy.
Okay, nice.
All right, let me get the lyrics here. Okay, it's short. I promise I won't play an entire song.
Hey, you can go as long as you want.
All right. Have you do you listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan at all?
No.
Okay, Texas boy. You know, I'm from Texas, so
okay.
Gotta play some blues.
Cool, culture me.
What do you do to make your minions survive? If you need
eat a combo piece alive. Try to top deck the card that you seek. Try to draw into the card of the week. Hey warrior, what you gonna do? I guess you'll just have to make them hit you. Taunt up and watch your life points drop.
There you go.
Yeah, dude, I'm loving it. That was amazing. You've got some sweet finger picking going on. That's fun. And you tailored it to the card?
I did.
That's amazing. Very few people actually do that. This is awesome.
Oh, I had that idea. That was the first thing I did before I built the deck.
Really? You got your priorities straight. I like that.
I didn't do it with this card, but I was planning to use a variety of different blue songs. I had a couple on the idea, but when I realized what this is going to do, which is make your life points drop, I just had to play Life by the Drop by Stevie Ray Vaughan. So
it just makes perfect sense. Dude, the synergy with... you really are a Johnny. You're building really... like synergy with songs and combos.
I really am. It's true.
All right, so this is another card I made up. So the big element of the latest WoW expansion that Drew was talking about earlier, Legion, is class artifact weapons. So every spec in the game gets one new artifact weapon. It's like a legendary weapon that has a name and a history and all that sort of stuff. And so most classes have three unique legendary weapons in them, like Enhancement Shamans get Doomhammer. That's their weapon. I think that's the only one that's actually in Hearthstone right now.
Ashbringer.
Oh, Ashbringer. Yeah, which you get from Tyrion Forge Ring.
Yeah.
That's right. So what I wanted to try and do was make Hearthstone versions of each of the artifact weapons that every class gets that aren't already in the game. And I wanted to try and keep with the theme of the weapon in game, because the weapons in game have like a full talent tree that gives them abilities and things that they do. And I wanted to match the play style right. So this week's card is the Protection Warrior one. So I wanted it to be about tanking damage, protecting allies, that sort of stuff. And since it's legendary, I wanted to make it very unique and powerful. So these would be the very first legendary weapons ever in Hearthstone. So let's talk about it. So, I mean, all right. It is Scale of the Earth Warder. It's a 5-cost, 0-3 weapon. And it says, your hero has taunt. And when your hero is attacked, gain 4 armor, and this loses 1 durability. So it can basically proc 3 times, then it's destroyed. You would have gained 12 armor, and your hero had taunt throughout all that. What do you think?
I think it's a really interesting one. The taunt hero version is really cool, because that was in a Tavern Brawl one time, and it was in Karazhan, right?
Yeah, it's the Curator fighting Karazhan. That's actually what kind of inspired me on this. I designed this a few days after I played the Curator fight, because I designed these cards just while I'm driving to work. And I'd just done the Curator fight the day before, and I was like, man, putting taunt on heroes is a really cool idea. So I just kind of ran with it.
It's a really good idea. And like I said in the song, you know, that's how you keep combo pieces alive. It's how you keep your minions alive.
Yeah.
It's really good for combo type situations. I mean, obviously they're weak to spells still, because that doesn't prevent that, but yeah. It's a really good against aggro decks.
Yeah,
they can't get your minions.
They have to go face though, which sometimes is what aggro decks want to do anyways.
But warriors are also armoring up and doing all this stuff anyway.
That's true.
So they usually have a higher health total. If any class can afford taunt on the face, it's the warrior.
That is very true. Good old protection warriors, frontline tanks,
and it fits that perfectly.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So what do you think power level at 5 mana? Gain 12 armor.
I feel like I responded on Twitter with thoughts on this, but while I was writing the song, this became so normal to me that I forgot what my original thoughts were.
So the original version that I had was stronger.
Okay.
It was the same cost, but it was 5 durability and you gained 3 armor each time, I think.
Okay, that's what I think I was saying, is that if I remember correctly, I don't remember what I said. Wish I did.
Yeah, you and Scott both came in with good suggestions, and I think I talked over it more with Scott on Twitter afterwards, and we felt more comfortable with 3 charges, 12 armor, because what is it? Shield wall gets you 5 armor and a card for 3, so armor isn't it's pretty cheap.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Cards
see.
Like this.
What did I say here? I've got it here. I said, yeah, because it actually said gain 3 armor and it loses 1 durability and it had 5. So it was 15 armor total, but it was sitting there for 5 hits basically.
Yeah.
And I said I'd probably nerf it to 3 durability. And then there 9 armor for 5 mana seems reasonable, but then you just buffed it to 4. So I think that makes it, I think it makes it very reasonable. And plus you have to think too, it's mitigating the damage, but you can still slip damage to face. So it's not like it's like if you're hitting with 5 or something like that, it's still going to do damage to the person. So
yeah,
I think it's very reasonable.
All right, cool. So this is fun. I've been having just a lot of fun with these. I made a list just yesterday of all the cards I have left to do. I'm about halfway through. There's 36 total. I have like 15 or 16 left to do. I'm doing one a day.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep doing it.
That'll be cool. Are you gonna do Doomhammer and Ashbringer in the new style of having a self-contained? Well, I guess
yeah,
Doomhammer.
I think I will. Just because I don't know what else I would do for Enhancement Shaman. It's like that's their weapon.
Right.
So I think I just have to do it. And what I'll probably do is maybe something like they do with Ragnaros, right? I'll do like Doomhammer, comma, the lost weapon or whatever the phrase would be.
That's a good idea. And plus, it's a legendary versus an epic, and so it's a little different.
Yeah. So. That's very true. And in WoW, it gets handed off from Thrall to you, and it's like this big moment, and the weapon will never be the same because it's not with Thrall anymore.
Yeah.
So it's got to change some.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that'd be cool. I'm not like we talked about the Outlaw, the Dreadblades, and
yeah.
I feel like it needs heals occasionally.
So the Dreadblades though, it's just all about let's burn each other down and see who makes it.
Yeah, but it's actually weirdly enough, you heal quite a bit with the Dreadblades if there's lots of minions on them. Like, so if you're in an AoE situation with the Dreadblades, I can keep myself alive for a long time on a rogue and WoW because it has an AoE heal that more people you're fighting, the more you heal. That's procs. So I feel like there's like a thing where it could heal you based on the number of minions on the board.
Okay.
So
interesting.
I don't know. It's of course, then it gets so complicated. The Dreadblade's effects are so weird because it damages you when you hit. So it's
So just for people that know, the Dreadblades that I built was a 2-cost. What were the stats?
I don't mean to get distracted into something else, but
no, let me pull it up real fast. You know, I love talking about these cards, dude.
They're so cool.
Because I put these on Twitter every morning. And people reply maybe once a day.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, I get nothing. And so, like, the fact that you even saw it and want to talk about it, I'm so happy.
Here, I'll put it in chat. Here's the
okay.
the link. I'll actually put it. I'll put it in the show notes if you want.
Yeah, so. Even easier. Dreadblades. Awesome. Thank you. Oh, I should have just gone to Twitter. I was digging through my photo archive. It's much better. All right, so here it is. This was the rogue outlaw rogue spec. So this is the spec that both me and Drew love to play in WoW. And the ability on it is you can use your finishing moves basically a lot faster, but every time you do it, you lose health. And so that's kind of the thing I was going with. That's the default Dreadblade's ability.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 2-mana 0/6 weapon. And it says whenever your hero attacks, this gains 1 attack and damages your hero first. And so the first time you'd attack, it would basically be, I pictured it like the true silver champion, where like your hero starts to attack, it pauses for a second, the attack would flip to 1, it would damage you for 1, and then you'd punch something in the face.
Yeah. It seems weird too, because the thing about the Dreadblades is it allows for a really fast ramp into your burst damage. And so this is the opposite effect here on this card. So it's almost like if it started at 6 and then broke 1.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's so
like
much maybe, that's so much better though.
Maybe it's like a gore howl that starts at 6/1 or I don't know.
It'd have to be so much more expensive.
It would, it's true. And that's maybe where the ramp is, that it's you can do it at 2. Maybe that's where the ramp is. So
Yeah, because so the way I pictured this was basically you put it in a rogue deck that's all about face damage.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, we're both going down. Let's see who can, you know, get the last punch first.
Yeah, it definitely has.
Especially if you're going against decks that can't keep up with that, could be kind of interesting.
It definitely has a very specific kind of a vibe. don't know, maybe you could add pirate synergy too. I mean, it just seems like that could be something that would fit the outlaw pirate theme too.
Totally.
I don't know. There's all sorts of fun things you could do.
Yeah, the trouble is like so many designs that I have, like I design in the car, right? And then when I get home, I'll jump on hearthcards.net and start making it and be like, oh, this text doesn't fit in the box at all.
Right.
It's like, it's so hard to fit text that really explains what happens in that tiny box and not get overly complicated, but it's good because you don't want to get too complicated.
Right. The problem is when you look at these weapons in game, in Legion, in WoW, the text is like, the amount of stuff that's on a weapon is just ridiculous. So it is difficult to consolidate an entire, it's basically an entire end game. Specialization type talent tree into a card, into a Hearthstone card. So,
so what I've been doing for the most part is either look at the spec. So like Protection Warrior, I didn't look at the weapon or the shield as much as I did what do Protection Warriors want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or I usually look at the first ability and kind of build off of that, because that's usually the ability that people see most. It's usually, in theory, the most iconic ability.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun because, I mean, you're right. Like, taking something like the Dreadblades, you could go any number of ways with them.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of fun to come up with different ways. And so I designed these just, my commute is 30 minutes. So I have a 30-minute clock to build something. And then whatever I have, when I get home, that's what's going online. Or to the office, that's what's going online.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to talk about it, follow me on Twitter. I post these every day, and I would love to get more opinions other than the random people that just every now and then reply and go like, that's dumb. Well, okay. Or like, well, yeah, that's broke if you do this. Or like, yeah, well, you wouldn't want to play that against Mage. Okay, but that's fine. I don't want this card to be, I'm not trying to design like the card that's perfect in every situation. Let's talk about it.
Well, it's inspired friends. It's inspired me to come up with my own cards. And that's why I did Roll the Bones in that way, because it's just so, it's so fun to think about what could be, and I didn't realize that. Yeah. It's a whole nother addiction that you've introduced.
The whole next level Johnny experience.
Oh, man. You've scratched an itch I didn't even know I had.
Good, dude. Let's start. We'll share designs every morning.
That'll be good. That'll be good. Of course, on the commute to my work, I'm listening to Happy Hearthstone.
Good man. We need a Happy Hearthstone card.
Oh, man, we do.
Throwing that out there. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this show up because we've been going for a while.
We have, but it's been fun.
It has been really fun. You can find show notes, videos, cards, the full deck list. Again, Drew wrote up a ton of advice for how to play this deck and every single card and how to play against every single deck and what to expect. Like you said, what cards you're probably going to get from each of the classes and that sort of stuff. All that's going to be on GameTipAndThat.com. Check it out. Give his deck a try for fun, if for nothing else. And let's see, as always, we'd love to know what you thought of this show, what you'd like to see added in future episodes. You can find us on Google+ at Happy Hearthstone, or on Twitter, I'm at J Augustine, or email me thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, or hey, just comment on the blog gamediplomat.com. And if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us. You can find more information at gamediplomat.com/donate. Drew, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Geldarion. That's GELDARION. And I have a podcast called Casual Core Radio. That's my MMO podcast. It's been defunct for a bit, and it will be picked up sometime next year. But we have a lot of episodes about a lot of different things. So we also do some theory crafting about what we would do, not really with cards, but if we were to make our own MMOs, and we go over different topics. So we have If I Were a Dev sections. So those are kind of
cool.
Those are kind of fun. So it has a little extra spice on each one. Fun stuff. Yeah. So that's mostly that's mostly where you'll find me. And I guess I do have a website, thefanaticalswordsman.com. So.
Ooh, what kind of swordsman like?
I was a fencer in high school, through high school. I went to nationals and sprained my ankle really badly and then went to college. So didn't get a chance to do much of it since, but I will get into it at some point again. Cause I love it.
Very cool.
But also I always played sword classes in most games I played. So, mostly melee sword classes. So,
oh, that's interesting. Is that why?
I always love swords. Swords are fascinating to me. Their history, their aesthetics, the dread blades, all these different things. Like there's a history with every sword. There's a story, in my opinion. So it's really cool to me.
That's awesome. So check all that out. And if you want to check out the other podcast I do, Game Diplomat Show, the one we just launched recently about indie games, you can do that on GameDiplomat.com as well. If I can entice you in, what is it, seven words? Let me tell you the name of the next game we're talking about next week on that show. It is Holy Potatoes, a Weapon Shop? With question marks and exclamation points at the end. And it's just a super fun crafting game. Everyone's potatoes, even Laura Croft. It's wonderful. So come check that out. Drew, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
And thanks to everyone listening for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Adios.